Welcome to Dental Brain Crops. I'm your host, Chelsea Myers, and today I'm joined with Kiltesh Patel. Kiltesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chelsea. Appreciate you taking an opportunity to meet me. I was looking forward to this discussion. So thanks again. Me too.
Kiltesh is the founder and CEO of Tab32, a cloud-based technology platform designed for better oral healthcare outcomes. Tab32 was recognized for its growth and leadership, making the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies list in 2022. Way to go. And Kiltesh has 20 years experience in enterprise technologies and medical informatics that has and he's dedicated his career to positively impacting patient care. So all good things, and I am very excited to talk with you today.
Pleasure. I'm glad for this opportunity. And like I said, you know, I'm excited to talk with you a lot about dental and maybe dental tech a little bit.
Yeah, well, actually, let's start there. So tell me I gave the broad overview, but tell me in some more detail about the background of what you were doing and how that led to Tab32.
Right. So I'll give you a little bit long, short story with Tab and even my journey for that matter. So come from engineering background. I had worked with really back in the day, we had CAD/CAM machines that now is available in every dental office. Those used to be almost very difficult back in the time, and we used to work through 3D engineering. I used to work for Honda Motors back then, moved to MapQuest after that, and then after my tenure with MapQuest, this is predated Google Maps, by the way, so I don't know if you remember those direction printouts. Those were the days that I used to work, and since then I've moved into healthcare, worked with a lot of EMRs, Epics and whatnot of the world, and done a lot of translation science and genomics research, wrote some novel algorithms, academic papers as well in the science journals. And since then, I've moved into Tab32, thinking about this. It took a turn in my career when I really went to a business school. And since then, been thinking, where can I make impact? And dental was one of the things where now, you know, story comes directly to why I am doing this. But when I started looking, you have to think 10 years ago or even 12 years ago when I was in the thesis stage, is that really, if I want to deliver a better care models, and then create a better patient experience. And at the time, the way I understood was that, and even it is now, right, that dental is more of a retail than more of a primary healthcare, the way it is structured today. So that thesis, when I started working, I really didn't have data on how can I improve the or deliver a better care models, right? Or how do I engage those patients better? Data was all under the desk of the providers, and I felt like democratizing that data was so important to really then augment using that data, that information, that how can we deliver a better care? How can we make it more reachable to those areas where it is difficult today, right? I mean, given the statistics, it's very poor that, you know, 40% of a country like ours doesn't even have a primary oral care health available to them, right? So it's pretty much like, you know, those theses is where I started working, and I felt like we wanted to do something first to democratize this data. And that is where, you know, our foundation of the most difficult part came in, was we wanted to build out the practice management, and it took us time to build it out. And then last few years, it's been an amazing, developed into a complete platform. And we are scaling up very rapidly. So that's like long short story. I hope that gives you a little insights of why am I here. But we ourselves think not as a practice management, that's just a tool, but idea so much so is how can we really democratize that data, be a big data engine, and how can then we leverage the machine learnings and analytics of next generation of technology for next 10 years or 20 years, which is what all of us are talking about, right? So, mm-hmm. so that's where I am, and that's where I come from, and that's the vision that I have for what we are doing, trying to accomplish here at Tap32.
I love it. And side note, I noticed this the first time we talked, and I'm noticing it now. You have so much passion behind it when you start talking about what you're doing and why you're doing it. You're so excited, and I'm getting excited about it, and I don't even know a fraction of the things that you do when it comes to the technicalities of it, but it's very exciting to just know you and be in this conversation, knowing how excited you really are about your purpose and where you're headed with it. And so talk to me about this last year. You know, Inc. 5000 and 2022 was a really big year for you. Lots of good things. So tell me all about it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, it's last 10 years has gone into building a technology that we felt would answer the practice at a scale, basically meaning enterprise, multi-location practices. And you know, last year was the first year actually that culminated into last 2 years, actually the one before 21 and 22, both. Even the year that we closed, it's been post-COVID years has been just amazing years for us, just because we know that now we have reached to a point where we can scale this very effectively and democratize that data. And that is one of our power that we bring when we work with a lot of these practices, is that you can't beholden to your data. And that's important for leadership, either it be an executive, regional, if you're really big enough, or even at the local level to make those decisions. And how can Tab help not only to democratize that, but also to help your daily processes being more efficient? And that's where, you know, Tab has been attracting a lot of this DSOs in the space, and it's allowing us to really, you know, align with that leadership's thinking as well, which they are also very frustrated. It is one of the biggest problem that we have in industry, is having to use five different things to just do one thing. And that is also like, 10, 20 years old. If we, you know, my thinking and rationale is simple, that if you don't use 10-year-old iPhone, right, how can you use 10-years-old technology or 20-years-old technology? That just defeats the purpose. And, you know, technology life cycle in terms of maturity is way different than, you know, normal other technologies, non-tech side of it. So that's where, you know, a lot of this momentum came in for last 2 years. And that's why you see what you see in the Inc. 5000, that we are one of the fastest growing dental tech company in the space. And even not just this space, right? I think we are ranked very high, even in the overall health services as well. The company has been ranked, right? So it's a larger impact as well that we are trying to make across in a more meaningful way, and the way consumerism is evolving with the dental care and the patient care today than, you know, it was 10 years ago. So So hope that helps a little bit more where our passion comes, and we feel that it should be accessible to much larger population. It cannot be a barrier, and how can we make it available?
Yeah, you know, and what I love about what you're saying is it really, when you have access to data, what I'm hearing it through the lens that I coach through, which is, you know, a lot of leadership development, stress management, making decisions, strategic thinking, those types of things. And when you have access to data, you can quickly eliminate so much of the guesswork, and you could really allocate that thought space, which is just precious. You can allocate that thought space in the ways that you can be most effective rather than guessing or trying 500 things, or like you said, going to 10 different spots to grab information to make a decision that really would be better if it was just all available.
Absolutely. You know, there are only two or three different models that could work in this space. One, you are an amazing dental group that just does the care delivery at a highest level of experiences. And I really hate to use Starbucks, by the way. But I feel like, you know, patient care must be measured, right? And that's one way of doing the right business model, implementing right business model. Other is, you know, why you can't get there in that model is the lack of information and data fast enough to scale. We are dealing with the third world problem, mundane problems of, you know, pulling out the data from practice management because some of these legacy systems are holding it back. So how can that information be taken out and served to an executive who is going to make that decision of what next to be done? You know, there are a lot of critical decisions that happens at an executive suite. And if I, as an analyst, has to work Excel after Excel after Excel for if I was 50 location practice, it would be a tremendous amount of work. A lot of people are trying to put an automation and whatnot and build their own. But what effectively they are doing, Chelsea, is that they are just putting band-aid over band-aid over band-aid. Mm. It doesn't scale well. You can imagine that, you know, if you do not put stitches on that wound and just keep on putting band-aids, right, that wound is not going to heal. That is what is happening. And unless it is really done, either you pay price today or you pay price tomorrow. Something has to be done to really correct that, course correct it. And I feel that a lot of these practices, especially, you know, when making those leadership decisions or developing their next generation of leaders, they need to think about that before even scaling it up. And in my opinion, they should do it at earliest possible intersection so that they can really have those information. And what I really mean by that is by that having that data at a hand to really then make, you know, those decisions that we want them to make. Because again, like I, you know, the leadership is all about not only making those decisions, but also helping your folks with right set of data and tools too, so that they also can in turn, you know, execute what your vision as an office is, right? So that's, I mean, I feel like a care delivery model that can scale effectively, but for that effective to happen, it needs a lot of this introspection in terms of just not technology, but also, you know, how you're developing your leaders and whatnot across.
You're right. And you know, I have fallen in love with the people in this industry. There are so many amazing people. And there's a strong desire to make really good decisions. And one of the things I see sometimes is a procrastination on making a critical decision, because we don't want to make it worse, or we don't want to make the wrong decision. And so, like to your point, when we're talking about trying to grow our businesses, we not only need to know if a side of the house is on fire, but we need to act quickly. And so having all of those tools and access to that information is so critical. It's not just a nice to have. It's absolutely necessary.
Must.
In order to, yes, if we're going to keep this living, breathing thing we call our business alive.
Agreed. I think it has to be, it's like learning on the job, right? And also making sure that you are making those enough right decisions that takes you on a right path than trying to take many wrong decisions, right? And again, from a data side, I would say that is paramount for them to make those right decisions. You just can't make those decisions by gut or by feeling or by perception. You need to be factual and right. as much as measurable, right, to make those decisions. And you are also right in that analogy that you have a fire next to you. You better act now. And it's there is always this dilemma that do I want to disturb this cart at this moment? And I feel that, you know, that really also brings to that segue, like, what are you trying to do in next 3 years, right? Don't even think 5 years, right? 5 years is too much. Mm-hmm. Just think, what are you trying to do in next 2 years, maybe? And see that, you know, if I, let's say, you know, I want to grow 10 practice, 20 practice, 40 practice, I want to do this acquisition, what are those gaps that you will then face, right? And I guess that would allow them to make those decisions quicker, I guess. And and I think it's high time, you know. I'll tell you, you go to any Fortune, and again, you know, in my mind, dentistry is moving into Fortune 500 and thousands, right, or even 5,000, with the enterprise and DSO segments of it, right? A lot of private equity funds are flowing into it, and there is all motivations and incentives to get into that Fortune 5,000, let's say at the lower end of it, right? The idea so much so then is that, have you seen those Fortune 500s having worked and being successful for a long time without being leveraging right set of technologies? No, right? The answer is simple. No, if you really are aiming that, right? Let's take an example of a very successful dental company called Align, right? Align Technologies. Look at their amount of technology that is, you know, that amazing technology that they are, and that's why they are at the forefront, right? Non-dental examples are just so many of them. They don't have to be a technology companies, but I'm just saying that there are so many other Fortune 5,000 companies that are really, really on the latest tech, and that's where their vision is to take them forward, you know. So I think we need to get out of that mindset not changing, because that is more problematic than, you know, trying to change. I feel like that has more downside in the long run than an upside. You might disrupt your today, but at least you know that where you are going and how you're going for your next move. So I guess to answer your question, yes, it's everyone's decision, but I feel like not moving is much more costlier than to at least try and move. Because you know, in the end, no matter what, if we are growing and if we are consolidating even from PE money, then they are aiming for moving us into the standard stream of those fortunes, how they are being run, right? And that's the way I think about it, of how one should think about it.
Yeah, no, I actually love what you're saying. I have a non-dental background as well. And at first that was received with a lot of caution and hesitancy. And now, just in the past couple of years, it's been received with arms wide open. Like, oh, we want to pull from the best things from all industries. And if something is working really well at Wells Fargo Bank, then we want to know about it for dentistry, you know? And so I absolutely agree with everything that you're saying right now. I do have a question for you. So for those people who don't know what Tab 32 is, could you give me a snapshot? What type of data are we talking about? What do people get with your service?
Right. So Tab 32 primarily provides the native cloud, which is developed on Google Cloud platform, a practice management platform. It is an end-to-end practice management platform. From the time that you are booking an appointment, you are developing your practice reputation, or even the matters of patient communications like appointment reminders and appointment confirmations, or even at the backend intermediary like radiology functions, which is taking x-rays and everything around that. 2D, 3D also is coming shortly. And then the backend of it, which is the money in the bank. So basically handling the payer side of it and the payment side of it as well. So it is an end-to-end platform, basically, that in today's market, right, if you think of a company which has a practice management, which has patient communication, which has a separate radiology, which is imaging platform, and then obviously the billing side of it, it replaces all these four or five different components into one single platform, cohesive, transparent, that allows you to handle the patient care in a more meaningful way. That's what TAP32's primary platform is. And then it is a multi-tenant platform, meaning that we have large DSOs as well as small practices as well, mid-market, even SMBs are on our platform, tandemly leveraging the same set of tools that even large DSOs are using. So they are well thought out workflows that builds the TAP32 overall as a platform. Besides that, we also have, based on our over 1,000 plus migrations that we have done from different systems, we have built out a standard data model. So that is another point that I was going to share with you when you talked about this data aspect of it, that we built out a data warehouse platform, which allows a practice to have their data on the time that they need it, right? Or allow the leadership like regionals to look at group of practices on a Power BI or a Tableau, right? It is very difficult today if you take legacy systems to build such a real-time systems across multiple locations. So we come out with that data democratization, which I was telling you is our data warehouse tool that allows these DSOs to look at their data in a meaningful way very quickly, rather than working Excel after Excel. So that's kind of a lay of a land from the practice management to the data warehouse. And there are many more exciting products coming out. Again, our focus is an entire tech platform, being a technology leader in the space. So that's where we are. If it helps to know more about TAP32.
Wow, that is so exciting. And it definitely explains the growth that you're experiencing, which I kind of want to pivot to. So, you know, a lot of our listeners are leading multi-location businesses, mm-hmm. whether that's within the same city or nationwide. And I know that you have a very geographically dispersed team. So talk to me a little bit about that. How have you been able to grow with your team, and what have you found success in as far as attracting the right people and hanging on to your key players and all of your talent?
Yeah, so it's been very challenging, Chelsea. Specifically, we are almost, you know, a stone's throw away from Silicon Valley, and you know how competitive it gets over here. So at the very early stage of the company, I had realized that we need to scale it up quickly. But at the same time, I don't want to compete. There are really amazing resources beyond the area that we were founded, which is obviously the California. So we started thinking about that even pre-COVID. And COVID was just adding more fuel to the fire. Pre-COVID, we had already expanded our team to remote hirings, basically. So people would start working remotely for us wherever possible. And then post-COVID, we are almost remote, very little in office. And we have teams across the US as our second office is in Miami, Florida. Our two offices are in India, Mumbai, and there is another one in Baroda, a smaller town adjacent to Mumbai. So, and then even in India, we have gone pan-India. In US also, we are going pan-US. In fact, we have developers also in Canada at this point. So we're trying to really, really leverage the technology in every sense where we can to really scale our team more effectively and efficiently. And it makes a lot of sense for us as well, because it's in our DNA now that we are able to build efficient models around that, so that we are not stuck to one limited area. I know dental practices might not so much because they still have the people, but there are opportunities in the back end of the dentistry, or even in the front end like DSOs, right? The back end meaning more like a billing cycles and revenue cycles that we're talking about. There's a lot more opportunity to scale it up, not even just within US anywhere, but there is an opportunity even to scale it up outside the country, right? Depending upon, how the margins are shrinking today and the labor cost that is going up and shortage of labor as well being the issue. But those things has to really have a foundation. You just can't wake up one day and start doing this, right? You can aggregate the function, but you need to be backed by right set of technology. So that's where, you can't have 50 locations and say, hey, I have this server-based system, and you have to VPN into 50 machines. That's not going to efficiently scale, or that's still going to scale maybe just by cost, but not efficiently, if it makes sense, right? There is a subtle differences between scaling 50 logins. You are just cutting the cost by hiring offshore in that case, right? But that's not an idea. You want to really create a growth engine, right? So if you want to create a growth engine, then you have to have right set of tools as well backed by it, right? So I guess another thing, that we are very big on, Chelsea, and this is not related to subject, but I would want to bring it up, is that Tab32 from the day one or inception has been very, very critical about its next hiring. And we feel that we have people in US and people in India for now, and even to some extent fragmented other countries. But any job that we create is a responsible and mature and sustainable job. That is what our belief is, in that if we create that next job, then it has to be sustainable. So our leaders are thinking that, are we efficient enough? Or do we need one more people? They think 10 times before even creating a requisite for a hire, right? And that has allowed us to even add more efficiencies, if it makes sense, to this whole process, because we never hire just because we have a leisure to hire. We hire always because there is a real need. And we can sustain that job. And that creates also a responsible, towards the social aspects of, corporates that we would want to bring to the table, I guess, as we continue to scale from here.
Yes, and it is very related, because when we talk about, engagement and retention, people want to be a part of something that is moving and growing, where they feel that they're developing. And so when you delegate that sort of responsibility to your leaders to make a strategic decision about the positions that we're going to make and the timing of those hires, that really allows them to be an integrated part of the process, rather than just checking off a task on their list. They're part of the creation. And so I think that that does answer perfectly some of my question about, what are we doing to, how did you do what you're doing? Because you're obviously doing it well.
Well, time will tell, well or not. We are just taking one day at a time and one year at a time. But I think, like I always believe in, taking a slow but right decision, and then obviously backed by data. I hope I can get it right enough times to continue to scale it, right?
Yes, yeah, that's the hope. So you mentioned some cool things coming up. Are there any you want to share, or should we just stay tuned?
Well, there are. We would just hold it to our chest, but I think at the high level, what I can say is that we have amassed at this point probably in an order of 15-20 million patients, and that's 5% of our U.S. population we are talking about. And what excites me is the democratization, convert that into a more information that we can leverage for augmenting better workflows, either it be, you know, machine learning, analytics, whatnot. So many things are coming out in a short order from that learnings, and excitement is that it will improve the care workflows, increase the way the practices run more efficiently, and it only helps our cause of serving patient better in the age of this consumerism, and I'm super excited about that part, but I would just hold rest of the things at the moment, because again, we want to be responsible and not share more at this point, but we want to deliver first and then talk about it.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, this has been so much fun. And if we do want to, you know, keep up to date, we can definitely go. Is it tab32.com?
Yes. So there's a lot of this information, not about what we are building, but right. The basic platform, our things are on tab32.com. And then there are forms as well. If you want to talk to us, there are a lot of people who will be more than excited to speak with you, get on phone and talk to you about. We are all passionate about what we are doing here, and we feel that we could really build this next generation of dental tech that is long overdue. We don't have to do band-aids. We really can address this more strategically at a scale.
Well, I'm so excited about it. This was a lot of fun and very informational. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Pleasure. Pleasure is mine. I want to thank you, Chelsea, for giving me an opportunity to come to your podcast. And I look forward to meeting you in person one of these days. And thank you to your audience for listening this podcast. And appreciate this. Thank you.
Very good. Well, thank you as well, and have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
I appreciate you joining me for today's episode. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, and visit dentallife.coach for access to additional coaching tools, as well as more episodes to help you create the dental life you truly desire.